Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
He is perfect in all of his ways. And what's really amazing and wonderful is how this perfect God created us to be in his image and in his likeness. It is God's will and desire for you and us to be perfect. He wants you and I to be perfect. Well, nobody's perfect. I love that bumper sticker. I really don't. But there's a bumper sticker that says, Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. So get out of my way. I added that part. That's an excuse to cut people off. And if you notice them from church, they're telling you right there, hey, I'm not perfect. I'm just a Christian. I'm just an old worm saved by grace. Nothing special, nothing perfect about me. But God created us in the image and likeness of himself. And I got news for you. God is perfect. God is perfect. And by the working of his Holy Spirit, who now lives inside us through our faith in Jesus Christ, you and I are being made perfect. And we see that. I mean, there's several scriptures that come to mind. Of course, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said it here in Matthew the 5th chapter. Matthew 5, in verse 43, he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So in other words, he's saying, hey, walk in love. Just like your Father in heaven is love. He's telling you here, no matter what happens, no matter what people say about you, no matter what people do to you, walk in love towards them. Don't get into bitterness. Don't get into being hateful. You continue to walk in love. And so he goes on, he says in verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? I like to say, doesn't even the mafia do the same? Yeah, don't they take care of their boys and they take care of the family, right? Okay, so you're no better than the mafia if you love your family and just love people that love you. He says, verse 47, and if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Watch this now, verse 48. A lot of folks miss this. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, did he just say you shall be perfect? How perfect? Just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And he is perfect in all his ways. Can you be perfect in all your ways? Can you go through your day and be perfect in all your ways? Yes. How? By walking in the love of God. And we can walk in the love of God because Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we have the love of God in us now. When we were born again, when we were saved, when Jesus became the Lord of our life, we received perfection on the inside of us. Now all we got to do is walk in it. Walk in that perfection. And then again, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter, we know, it talks all about the love of God. It describes to us what love looks like. starting in verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. If you acted rude today, then you didn't walk perfect in all your ways. See? And so we need to judge that. We need to judge that, take responsibility for that, say, no, that's not me. I'm one with the love of God. I walk in the love of God. And so, Lord, I repent for being rude to that guy I cut off, flashing my bumper sticker at him. Verse 5, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. We're not just running around just looking to gratify ourselves and what makes us happy, what's good for us. We care about others. We're interested in other people. Aren't you glad God's interested in you? Aren't you glad he's not too busy for you? Yeah, he's not too busy for you. He loves you. He takes a very big interest in you and I. And we need to take an interest in other people. Verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So here he's talking about love. And then he says in verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. So notice that again, he's talking about when that which is perfect has come. Well, what's he talking about? Well, in its context, he's talking about love. And of course, you go back to Matthew chapter 5, and he says, if you walk in love, even towards unlovely people, you will be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So here he's saying, if you walk in these things, or we could just say, if you yield to these things, because this is what's on the inside of you. This is really who you are. This is a mirror image, a reflection of who you are according to the Spirit. So this isn't something even you're trying to attain to. This is not something you're trying to lay hold of. This is something that it's already who you are. This is who you are. You just got to know it. You got to believe in the love. Believe in the love of God that's on the inside of you. Have faith that you are a loved person. And you got to remind yourself of that when your flesh and the world is screaming the opposite to you. Trying to tell you you're an angry person. You're a mean person. You're a selfish person. And all these kind of traits are trying to manifest themselves in our flesh. We've got to speak up and say, no, I'm a loved person. I'm better than bitterness. Come on, I'm better than bitterness. I'm above resentment. I'm above unforgiveness. I'm above all that mess. That's not who I am. I'm a loved person. I'm a loved person. This is who I am. This is who I am. This is who God is, and this is who I am in God and God in me. Can you say amen? So somebody say, perfection is on the inside of me. But we're working out that perfection. We're working it out. We're working out what's on the inside. We're working it to the outside. How do you do that? By working the word, believing the word, speaking the word over yourself. In the face of contrary feelings and thoughts, you speak the word of God over yourself. You work that word of God. And what's happening? You're working out that love of God. You're causing that love of God to grow on the inside of you, grow up and come forth from your life. So that it just becomes a reaction. I mean, I remember when I was in the martial arts. I mean, the martial arts doesn't really do you any good unless the moves that you learn become a reaction. Because if somebody jumps out at you with a knife, you can't sit there and go, wait. One, grab wrist. Two, three, flip, stomp. You can't go one, two, three. It has to be a reaction. Somebody jumps out at you, you go, can't think. It's got to happen. Just it's got to be a reaction. It doesn't work if it doesn't reaction. So I remember when I was really in the middle of really the martial arts, that was a real big deal in my life when I was a teenager. I had my black belt when I was 17. And, you know, I thought I was going to be Bruce Lee. That was my goal. I was going to be the next Bruce Lee. I was determined. I was going to bypass Bruce. And I remember, you know, there were times that somebody would jump out at you, you know, try to spook you, try to jump out at you. And I mean, my reactions were pretty cool. You know, my foot would go up in the air, you know, or whatever it would be. I mean, boom, you'd go right into that, what they call a fighting stance. You know, you go right into that fighting stance. You go right into the move that you've been trained in and you've practiced over and over and over. That's when it's going to work for you. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. It's the same thing spiritually. We've got to work this word till it's just a reaction. Love just comes out of us. The goodness of God just comes out of us. The things that we're hearing, we're meditating on them. We're practicing them in our life. And how many people know practice makes perfect? Practice makes perfect. Or practice, in our case, brings forth perfection. It will bring that perfection that is already in us out of us. It'll just be a reaction. The devil jumps out at us. Faith just comes out of us. Devil jumps out in front of you. Something jumps out in front of you. And faith just comes out of you. Oh, it's exciting when it's like that. And you don't have to think about it. You don't have to try to work it up. You don't have to sit there and try to remember scripture and try to quote something and try to act spiritual. It just comes out of you. And that's how it needs to be if it's really going to work for us in life. And so we're working it. We're working it. We're working it. We're working the word that we're hearing through the trials and tests in life, through those contrary circumstances in life. In fact, let's just go to Romans chapter 5, where it talks about the love of God's been poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit. And let's look at some other things here. Romans chapter 5. Verse 3, it says, and not only that, but we also glory or rejoice in tribulations. We rejoice in tribulations. Well, that kind of goes back to what we just read over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love. We rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance. Patience, endurance. How do you want to grow in their patience? Well, praise God for tribulation then. That's how it happens. You know, Lord, help me with patience. Help me to be patient with Margaret. I am. That's why there is a Margaret. We're resisting acting unlovely. Thank God for Margaret. Thank God for people. Thank God for circumstances in life that makes life tough on us so that we can exercise the love of God. Because what do you want to be? Do you want to be a spiritual girly man? You want to be a spiritual weakling? Huh? And have a wonderful life? Everybody loves you? Everybody's good to you? Everybody's nice to you. Everything just goes great. Everything's smooth. There's no difficulties in life, but you're weak. You're unspiritual. You're just carnal. You're fleshy. Or would you rather have some trials and tests, but be becoming more like the Master? More growing up in what you were created to be. Perfect in all your ways. Like the Master. Huh? I mean, what do you want? So if you really want that perfection, if you really want to walk like Jesus walked, if you want to be like him, if you want to get what's on the inside of you to be worked out and to come forth and just become a reaction in your life, then, man, we rejoice in tribulations. Now, the flesh might be crying at the same time. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, the flesh might be crying, but on the inside, you're rejoicing. You're rejoicing. You know this is good. You talk to yourself. You have pep talks. You encourage yourself. Right? Flesh wants to cry and everything, but you're encouraging yourself in the Lord. You're encouraging yourself in the Word of God. You're encouraging yourself in who you are in God. And it's changing you. Your patience is growing. You're growing in perseverance. And perseverance, verse 4, character. Character. How many people want to grow in character? Yes. We don't have any more character than we have patience. When your patience runs out, your character ran out. And that's, I mean, you think of it that way, you think, my Lord, help me to be patient. Help me to have endurance. Help me to persevere through tough times. Because think about it, if you lose your patience, you're going to lose your cool. Right? And then what? You're going to give in to all kinds of ugly things. You'll give in to all kinds of ugly things. You'll say all kinds of ugly things. You'll do all kinds of ugly things. You'll do a lot of characterless things. So we have to have patience. We have to grow in our patience. As we grow in patience, we are growing in character, which is growing in integrity, right? Being found trustworthy, being people that are reliable, people that other people can build their lives on. They know you're dependable. You are rock solid, just like the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, our master. We want to be rock solid, unshakable. Man, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about character. That we don't change no matter what happens. We don't change. We don't fall apart. We don't become something else when temptations come to us in secret. We're the same. We're the same in the secret place as well as in that public place. We're the same. We don't cave in. We don't quit. We don't give up. Come on. People can trust in you. People know you're in it for the long haul. How many people are in it for the long haul with Jesus? We're not quitting. I don't care how bad it looks, how terrible it feels, how awful it's been. Praise God. We're going forward. We're not quitting. We're not giving in. We're not giving up. We're not going to moan and groan and fall apart and be discouraged. We're just going to grow more and more rock solid in our character. And then, as your character grows, hope comes. Hope, confidence, confident expectations. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith comes out of hope. And hope comes out of character. And character comes out of patience, which comes as a result of pressing through tribulations. Pressing through tough times. That's how it works. That's how what's on the inside of us is worked out. And how we become what we were created to be. Become in action what we already are in the Spirit, in Christ Jesus. Rock solid. Men and women of faith, believers, walking in the love of God, because we know hope brings about faith, and faith works by love. And so he goes on. Verse 4, perseverance, character, hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So we just saw how we grow up and become perfect in all our ways, just like our master. And then we come over here to James. James chapter 1. So a lot of folks still, you know, Christians, it's like, well, you know, my job is so stressful. I just want to get a job at the Christian bookstore. My job is so stressful. Well, the less patient you are, the more stressful it is. Did you get that? So the less patient you are, the more stressful it is. But the more you have patience, then the less stressed you're going to get. So is it really a job problem? Or is it a patience problem? Yes. See, let's stop pointing finger at job. And let's point finger back at us. Because you might never be able to change your job, but oh, thank God you can change you. Yes. So I'll just change jobs. Yeah, but wherever you go, there you are. So we want to be changed. We want to be changed. We want to grow up. I want to grow up spiritually. I want Christ to be formed in me. I want to grow up and have Christ formed in me. And he talks about that over in the book of Galatians. But look here, James chapter 1. He says, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, the testing of what you believe. Do you believe the Bible? We believe the Bible. We believe the promises of God. We believe the Word of God. Has God made any promises to you? Maybe he has spoken some things personally to your heart. Well, there's things that are going to come and they're going to test that word that's in you. It's going to test that faith that is in you. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its what? Perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So there it is again. Perfect. You have been called to perfection. And you have it all on the inside of you. It's just a matter of not allowing all the impatience and all the lack of character and all the foolishness and arrogance and pride and all those things that are of the flesh or of the world, not allowing those things to dominate your life any longer. We want this patience, this faith, this love of God, the character of God. We want that to be dominating our life. And it comes through some tough things. It comes through working out. Now, when it comes to going to the gym, you have a choice. But when it comes to going into tribulation, many times you fall into those. Those are some of those things you cannot avoid. There are some things you cannot avoid in life for several reasons. Number one, we know the earth is under a curse. But thank God you're blessed. Don't confuse you with the earth. Don't confuse you with your circumstances. Don't confuse you with what's going on around you. There's curses all around. Thank God you are blessed in the midst of the curses. And we're not cursed. And we're not going to be cursed. We're going to walk through these curses and remain blessed. In fact, as we pass through some of these curses, we're going to come through them even more blessed. Why? Because we're exercising patience, perseverance. We're growing in our character, right? We're exercising. So we go through a bunch of curses, all kinds of negative, nasty, evil things going on all around us, and we persevere through those things, and we come out more blessed. So we're not afraid of the curses. I said we're not afraid of the curses. Because as we press through them with our faith, we become more blessed. We become transformed. We become more changed. More of the blessing of God, more of the presence of God becomes evident and manifest upon our lives. So when curses come, get excited. You're about to get more blessed. Ooh, hallelujah. Pastor, I just lost my job. Hallelujah. They just laid a whole bunch of people off. Glory be to God. I'm about to be blessed. You know what that means? That means there's a promotion. Praise God. They just closed the door on me. That means a double door is about to open. See, that's got to be your at. Rejoice in tribulation. Be in faith about your life. And no, glory be to God, no matter how bad it looks, it can only get better for me. It can only get better for me. It can't get bad. It can't get worse. Why? Because Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. He's taken away the curse that I might walk in the blessing. But you see, if you look at the curses and you look at people and everything else going on around you, oh, you just collapse. And guess what? It all just comes down on you. It all just comes down on you. And no lessons learned, nothing changed. And the curses that were around you now got on you because you believed in them. You believed in what you saw more than what you heard from God. You walked by sight, not by faith. And so now the curses had access into your life. Thank God you and I can rise up in faith and say, no, I'm too blessed to be cursed. So we never have to worry. We never have to fear because we're blessed. We're a blessed people. So we're not afraid of tough times. We're not afraid of tough times. Things get tough, that's all right. The tough get going. Right? We rise up and we just move forward. We move right through it with our confession of faith, declaring what we believe. And as we do, we are being transformed, so much so that the Bible says we will be perfect and lack nothing. We will be perfect and lack nothing. And we can go to 2 Peter chapter 1. It also talks about the progression there of how we grow and come to the place where we lack nothing. No lack whatsoever in our life. Walking in complete perfection. Can we have that? Can we have that? Yes, we can. We can have that. That's what we're called to walk in. In fact, we have some Old Testament examples of this. Let's look at Psalm 105. Psalm 105. Haven't people heard of a man by the name of Joseph? Joseph, one of the great patriarchs of Israel. But let's look here. Psalm 105. And in we'll pick it up here in verse 16. It's just reflecting of things that God has done in the past. And it comes here and begins to talk about Joseph. It says in verse 16, moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. Talking about the famine that came into the land of Egypt. Verse 17, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Now you talk about tribulation. Joseph had some serious tribulation that he went through and lasted for years. He went through some really, really tough, tough places. Verse 19, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord tested him. So notice Joseph, we know he had a dream and he had seen in a vision that God had this amazing plan for his life, that he'd be a ruler someday, that God was going to do something very significant with him as a ruler over the people. And so, you know, first thing Joseph did was run and tell his brothers. He said, I had a dream. And in this dream, he begins to describe the dream to him, and basically what the dream meant was that all his brothers someday would bow down to him. He's going to be such a great ruler that all his family members are going to bow down to him. Well, they didn't like that. Joseph then goes and tells his dad, you know, he says, hey, I saw this, the sun and the moon, they bowed down to me. And of course, that was symbolic of his father and mother. And his dad looked at him, he says, will your father and mother come and bow down to you? You know, and Jacob rebuked him. So Joseph, you know, he gets this word from God. He knows he heard from God. But then the next thing you know, the jealousy of his brothers and ended up causing him to be thrown into a pit. And then from a pit, he was sold off into slavery. And then as a slave, you know, he's working for this man, Potiphar. He's working in his house. And of course, the blessing of God is on Joseph. Joseph is a man of faith. He's a man of faith, And so, you know, obviously he worships God. He's trusting in God for things. And again, he still has this word from the Lord. He's got this word that someday he's going to be a ruler. So, you see, that's holding him together. That's causing him to walk in character. That's causing him to not get stressed out and become hopeless and walk around with a victim mentality and say, look at me, I'm just a slave. I'm just a slave. My life's never going to amount to anything. I can't believe what's happened to me. My life is ruined. He didn't think like that. He kept thinking about the word that the Lord had given him, the promise that God had given him. He had that vision out in front of him. So that all these things were going on, he remained positive. He remained a man of faith, and as a result of that, good things were happening to him. Good things were in the midst of being a slave. Good things were happening. Good things were falling into place for him, and he ended up having great favor with Potiphar, his master. And so Potiphar ends up making him the ruler over all his house and puts all the other slaves, all the other servants subject to Joseph. And now Joseph, man, he's ruling. Even though he's a slave in title, he's ruling over the place. He's got control. He's writing the schedule every day of what everybody's going to do. All right, you're going to work out in the field today. You got laundry duty today. He's walking around just managing things. He's doing really good. Life's good for Joseph. Because again, his attitude, that's what caused his promotion. A lot of times folks are looking for God to promote them. They're looking for increase. But at the same time, they're not being faithful where they are. They're not being positive about what they have. So many people, they whine and complain about where they're at and what they have, while at the same time thinking God's going to, promote them. Well, God many times will promote us through people. God will increase us through others. And so how we treat others is important. How we care about others is important. Our love walk is important. Right? Our love walk is important. Our attitude is important. No employer wants to promote a grumbling, obnoxious employee. It's amazing. You know, there's these murmuring, griping, slandering behind the boss's back employees that can't figure out why the boss gave that position to Mary instead of me. Nya, 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 nya. And they can't figure out why. They don't see it. They don't figure it out. But you see, they're cutting people down. They're not being faithful. They're griping about the way things are being run, how the owner has things set up. And then they're wondering, when was the last time I got a raise? You got to look at yourself. Am I worthy of promotion? Because remember, promotion, if somebody promotes you, that means they're giving you something better. Why would you get something better if you're not acting better than when you started? See, if you want better to come to you, then we need to be getting better. You know, if you've been working at a job for a couple years, you shouldn't be the same way you were when you entered that place. You should be a much better employee than you were 2 years ago. You should be a much better employee. You should be getting better. And when you are getting better, then you can expect better to come to you, to have it better. But a lot of times folks want to have it better, but they're not getting any better. They're getting more bitter. Why is it getting so quiet? I don't know. It's good anyhow. Amen. So Joseph, he had a great attitude. And it caused him to be distinguished above everybody else in the house. And so he gained more and more favor. Now notice this here in Genesis chapter 39. Now we know Joseph has already manifested some pride. Right? Remember about love? We come over here, love does not boast. It doesn't brag on itself, right? It doesn't parade itself. Is that love? Love doesn't parade itself. It doesn't lift itself up. Well, what did Joseph do? He went and he paraded himself and he lifted himself up in the presence of his brother, in the presence of his parents. Now, he believed the word that God gave him. He had faith in his heart. But at the same time, we also see something else. We see a lot of pride in Joseph's flesh, right? In his actions. So this is a man of faith. I mean, there's a king inside there. There's a ruler over the world on the inside of this man. But on the outside, there's a prideful man. A man that parades himself. He's puffed up. Okay? So now, he's a slave. He gets himself into trouble. And now, here he is as a slave. And in Genesis 39... Potiphar's wife begins to make the moves on Joseph. And she just thinks he's real handsome and how great he is. And notice this here in verse 7. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me." A little drama. "But he refused and said to his master's wife," how do you know refusing her is a good thing, right? I mean, you know, the devil's saying all kinds of things to him. I mean, "You're a slave, this is your shot, you know, blah, 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 blah." But he refuses her. That's character, isn't it? There's some integrity here. There's some faith here. He's resisting her. That's good. But watch this. It's interesting. It says, "But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There's no one greater in this house than I." How many know she does not need to hear this right now? This is not cooling her off. This is not cooling her down at all. You understand what I'm saying? Look, there's nobody greater in this house than me. Come on. And there's no one greater in this house than I. I. Where do you say I? You got to watch about the eyes. Watch about how many times in your conversation you say, I. If you see I a lot, could be an indication, could be a warning. Self-seeking, pride, thinking about yourself. You might need to have an eye examination or examine your eye. "There's no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it's like you see this man of faith, this man of character, this man of integrity, and this man of pride, right? This inflated man, this flesh man, all in the same paragraph. You see it all right here. It's like, you see the good and you see the bad. You see the beautiful, the character of God, and you see that ugly pride. You see them both here. How many people know he's not ready yet? He's not ready for that word that's in him, that word that he believes in, that promise from God. He's not ready for that thing to manifest in his life yet. He's not ready. He's not ready for that promotion yet. In fact, he tells you right here, he's in charge of everybody. He's committed all things into my hand. There's no one greater in this house than I. I mean, in other words, I'm the one who decides who's working where. And so he already knew that Potiphar's wife was casting longing eyes at him and was making the moves on him. And yet, it's interesting that he put all the servants outside today and decided he would work in the house today. He's playing with this thing. He's playing with this woman's passions. His ego is being fed through all this. I wouldn't do anything, but he liked being flattered. He liked being liked. I remember when I was in the world, I wasn't saved at the time. There was a certain rock band, and they sang a song. And it was, I want you to want me. I need you to need me. I'd love you to love me. I'd beg you to beg me. Didn't I? It's all coming back. It's a long time ago, but Holy Spirit will bring those things to your remembrance at times of need. That was Joseph's song that day. He just wanted to flirt. He just wanted to flirt. I wouldn't do anything, but he just wanted to flirt. All right? So, how many people know that's wrong? Huh? Love doesn't provoke somebody else to sin. Love doesn't provoke anybody. Love isn't playing with people like that. Love isn't looking to feed its ego and pride like that. So here we see this man resisting evil on one hand, but at the same time playing with it, catering to it, yielding to it on the other hand. So we got both these things working here, and as a result of that, most of you know the story, she couldn't take it anymore. She went after him. He ends up getting accused of attacking her, and he ends up in prison. Now, he went from being a slave to being imprisoned. Now, a lot of folks got this all wrong. They look at this and they say, well, you see, you know, God was doing all this to Joseph, to teach Joseph, to train Joseph, because God had this plan for his life, and so God had him thrown into the pit and sold off to slavery, and then God had him thrown into the prison, and you know, God did all those things to help break him and mold him and make him what he wanted to be. No, God didn't. God spoke a word to him, but his pride drove him into tribulation. That's why in James, oh, I don't know if it's James. That might be Peter. Yeah, I think it's Peter. Let me go there. 1 Peter, verse 5, who are kept, you're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, there it is again, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here, right in this verse, we're seeing everything that we're talking about right here. Our faith being tested as though by fire. Fiery trials, fiery tests. Here we are, we're rejoicing, going through it, knowing what it's producing in us. It's causing what is in us, the genuine faith that is on the inside of us, to come forth, to be found. That this faith that is in you, do you have any faith in you? That this faith that is in you would be found. The faith that was in Joseph wasn't easily seen. Why? Because there was so much flesh coating it. There was so much flesh mixed with it. He had genuine faith in him, but it needed to be purified of all the contaminants of the flesh. in order for that faith to be found. And so his own pride that was contaminating his faith brought him into some fiery trials. But because he had faith in him, the fiery trials that his pride, that the contaminants of the flesh brought him into, because he had faith in him, those trials only purified him. It just purified him of all that flesh, so that the faith that was always there could now be found. So hang on to your faith. Hang on to your faith. Because when your flesh gets you into trials, when your flesh gets you into, and I love that, if need be, look at it again, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. You know, it don't always need to be. It don't always need to be. Now, in the world, you're going to have tribulation because there's tribulations in the world. But there's a lot of trials and tests that would never have to be if your flesh wasn't so dominant in your life. If you were purified of some of those contaminants, there'd be a lot less trials and tests that you'd have to go through in life. You can reduce the number of trials and tests you go through in life. Now, unless, of course, you're going to, for the ministry's sake, go out there like Paul the Apostle and go into the heat of the battle and put your life on the line to save people. If you're called to do something like that, yeah, you might end up in prison. You might end up in all kinds of things. And it's not because of the same reasons Joseph ended up in prison. But you're doing it for the gospel's sake. That's a different kind of suffering. But then there's this suffering that is the result of our own arrogance. We keep sticking our own foot in our mouth. Or actually, we probably should put our foot in our mouth so it stays closed. If we just knew how to respond correctly, so many things could just be diffused. So many trials and tests, so many explosive circumstances could just be diffused if we just weren't so emotionally attached to the situation. If we weren't so fearful and anxious about the situation. What happens if we just had peace and total patience and we weren't stressing anymore? How much would that change things for you? Devil tries to put something on you, you laugh at him. You can't laugh at the devil and the devil linger around very long. Because the Bible says, resist the devil, he'll flee. He'll flee. So if you just laugh, if you're light, not into yourself, but you're into God, your reactions are the word. The word is what squirts out of you whenever you're pushed or slapped. Huh? Love of God never fails. How many trials and tests would never happen? What happens if Joseph just kept his mouth shut? What happens if he walked in a level of humility that said, I don't have to share this with anybody? He never would have went to the pit. God didn't put him in the pit. Well, God had to get him in Egypt, and that's why he put him in the pit. No, God could have got him to Egypt and would have got him to Egypt another way. He chose the pit. Not God, Joseph. Joseph chose right? There's many roads to Egypt. Joseph took pit road. Prison road. Nice road, Joseph. Thank God he got to prison. Why? Because he had faith on the inside of him that would not quit, that no matter what happened to him. I mean, it went from bad to worse, but bless God, he believed. He believed, and his faith was tested. And those tests that he put himself through, going the long way, going the hard way, the way that he chose. Those fiery trials that he went through was transforming his life because he never let go of the vision. He never let go of the word God had given him. That's what Psalm 105 was talking about when it says the word of the Lord tested him. He wouldn't let go of the word. He remained in faith. His faith was genuine. It needed to be found. Man, there's so much faith in this room. We just need to see it. You know it looks good. Faith looks good. Faith is victorious. There are princes and princesses in this room. There are kings. There are rulers. There are kings and priests in this room. Right now. But we got to take off the victim's garments. And thank God for the word tonight, because the word can wash us. We just believe the word of God. Whoo, make some adjustments right now. As an employee, I'm making some adjustments right now. I'm changing my attitude right now. I'm going to press through this thing, and I'm going to judge myself. And if I judge myself, I will not be judged. I will not end up in a pit, praise God. We can go through this thing easier, praise God, by taking responsibility for ourselves. Taking responsibility for our actions, judging ourselves, praise God. Hallelujah. Man, you do that, you've already made it easier for yourself. But if we don't, hang on to your faith anyway. But you might have a nice ride on the way to the fulfillment of what you believe. But we'll get there. Bless God, one way or the other, we're going to get there. Can you say amen? Whether we're going to take the low road or the high road, praise God. Bottom line is we're going to get there. All right, so now notice here, back in Genesis, in chapter 39, in verse 21, so here now Joseph, he gets thrown in prison. And in verse 21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph, and watch this, showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So notice that Joseph's faith kept the Lord with him. But notice that statement, the Lord had mercy on him. See? The Lord had mercy on him. In other words, he did this to himself. You don't need mercy unless you sinned. So it's not like Joseph was perfect and all these things happened to him because they needed to happen. And God's sovereignty and his divine plan, he threw him in a pit and did all these things to him. No. God had mercy on him because of the way he went. But his faith kept the Lord with him. He received, obviously, that mercy from God. Then Genesis chapter 40, he's in prison. And there's some people that the Pharaoh had thrown in the same prison, a baker and a butler. And they come in there, and Joseph interprets their dreams. He gets the interpretation for them. And he says to them, when they got released and went back to Pharaoh, he said, the baker was going to get executed, and the butler, the cupbearer, he was going to be restored to Pharaoh's side. And it happened just like that. The baker was executed, and the butler, he was restored to Pharaoh's side. And so Joseph says this to the butler in Genesis 40, verse 14. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Me. That's just like the I. I and me is basically talking about the same person. So that's another one. When you see me that many times in one verse in your life coming out of your mouth, judge yourself. You're probably on the wrong road. You're probably on the low road. Are you hearing me? So I'm going to read that again. I liked it so much. But remember me when it is well with you, because I know it's going to work out for you. And please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing. I've done nothing wrong that they should put me into the dungeon. All right. So it's very interesting. So we see a man who just had a dream, incredible spiritual revelation. I mean, the man had tremendous revelation. He heard from God. Have you ever met somebody that heard from God? And let everybody know that they heard from God. Well, God said to me, God said to me, God showed me, God showed me. See, God shows me things. God has revealed many things to me. I have many gifts from God. I could do many things. So in one sense, you see the gift. Say, my Lord, the guy just interpreted this vision flawlessly. But then right on the other hand, you see again, it's all about me, he, all about me, he. Joseph is not there yet. He is not there yet. Now, but you see the spiritual, but then you see the flesh. They're all working together. Chapter 41 of Genesis, we're progressing here. Joseph is progressing. He is getting better, folks. Genesis 41, and in verse... Okay, so here it is. So finally, I think another 7 years pass. He says to the guy, remember me, and the guy completely forgets about him. Completely forgets about him. Isn't it amazing when you don't trust God and you try to make it happen? Right? You put pressure on people. Remember me. Me, you. You remember me. You're my salvation. You're my deliverance. I need you. Remember me. Put pressure on people. A lot of times people will forget you. There's no grace there. But now Joseph hits this place. He hits this awesome place. The outer man is dead. Not literally, but it's like he's dead. The pride, all these things we've been talking about, it's done. The inner man, the faith of God has purified. The trials and tests that he has pressed through in faith has purified him of all this stuff. And notice this. Pharaoh, verse 14, sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there's no one who can interpret. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. Now that right there, you know, the me, I guy, that's enough right there to cause him to fall into pride. Pharaoh's standing there looking at him saying, I have heard of you. Nobody can interpret it, but I heard you can do it. Watch this, verse 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold my dream. And he begins to share his dream with, look at this. Where did the eye guy go? I had a dream. He runs and tells his brother, I had a dream. I see this. God showed me this. There's no one greater than me in this house. Everything. I have charge over everything. And he's in prison. I can interpret dreams. Remember me to Pharaoh. Make sure you talk about me. Tell him about my great gift that I have and what I can do to help him. But then the purifying process continues on. And now Joseph stands there completely dependent upon God and no longer trusting in himself. Now the great prince that was on the inside of him has completely emerged and is now found by everybody throughout all the land. His faith has been found, praise God, and the whole known world, praise God, knows about it. Woo! Hallelujah! That purifying process worked its work in his life. He's no longer concerned about saving himself and exalting himself. Now, he's entered into that place of peace and total dependency upon God. Total dependency upon. We're all depending on God. We're all depending on God, but then the flesh gets in the way. But we want to be to the place total dependency upon God. Completely purified of all doubt, all unbelief. Purified of everything that is unlovely and everything that is not Christ-like, so that we can stand perfect in all our ways, just as he is perfect. Can you say amen? Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah! Come on, stand on your feet with me tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.